Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, it's National Butter Crunch Day. What the hell is that?
Tony Kornheiser. Butter crunch? Isn't that your safe word?
No, butterscotch. I mean, you yell out somebody's safe word and use the wrong word. There could be trouble in paradise, big man.
Is that your password on Tinder as well? Is that yours? Butter crunch? Welcome to PTI, boys and girls.
Tinder.
In today's episode, Joel Embiid goes for 50. Mike McCarthy says the Cowboys were nervous, and Booger McFarland joins us to look at this weekend's playoff games. But we begin today with Russell Westbrook on the bench in crunch time last night against Indiana. Lakers coach as of now, Frank Vogel, said, quote, "He was playing the guys I thought would win the game," unquote. Well, he thought wrong. The Lakers lost again to slip to 22-23. Wilbon, what is the path forward from here for the Lakers?
Vacation? The path forward, Cancun? I mean, you know, they're not, Tony, every time in the last week or so we've talked about the Lakers, I've said to you, first and foremost, they're not any good. All right, I know LeBron's playing at an extraordinary level for anybody, not just somebody in his late 30s. But the team is not any good. And while LeBron's part of it because he's on the team and he leads the team, Westbrook's a part of it. They're all part of it. Anthony Davis, though he's hurt, they're all, Frank Vogel, the coach, they're not any good. So you expect me to sit here and say, well, if they make this deal and they tweak this, and no, they're not any good. And the people they have make so much money. Don't tell me trading Dwight Howard for two dudes is going to matter. First of all, you shouldn't even be able to get two good players for him anymore. But Tone, there's no magic answer. You think they can fire Frank Vogel if they want. That's not going to improve this team, nor is making a trade deadline acquisition. Sorry, out of it. Where's the path? What do they got? Sixth? Seventh? Somewhere in there?
I'm going to be much more specific.
Okay.
You can't bring Russell Westbrook to your team and then bench him in crunch time. You can't do that. He's played in the league for 14 years. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he
Everybody
is.
Knows his strengths are his effort, and everybody knows he's not a good shooter. He's a great scorer. He's not a good shooter. You can't humiliate him and say that he's not as valuable because he didn't play defense as Malik Monk. You can't. You have to trade him today, Mike. You have to trade him today. You have to buy him out or do something, because if you're the coach of that team and Russell Westbrook is not on the floor in crunch time, you either can't be the coach or you can't have Russell Westbrook. I hold Pelinka responsible. I hold Vogel responsible. I hold LeBron James responsible. And now we're going to wait and see what LeBron James as GM does with Russell Westbrook.
So you're going to trade a contract that's worth about, I don't know, $45 million because people are dying to have a guy who can't shoot? And he's great, but not as great as he used to be, and not at $45 million when you're on a bad team. And they're a bad team.
You got to put him on the floor in the last five, Mike. Come on. Or else don't get
him. Losing with him on the floor in the last five, too. While the Lakers have been struggling, the Sixers have been rolling. Joel Embiid, one of my faves, not one of yours, had 50-50. 12 boards, 3 blocks in just 27 minutes. Last night, as Philly beat Orlando for their 11th win in the last 14 games. Later in the night, reigning MVP Nikola Jokic had 49, 14, and 10 as the Nuggets came from way back down, 15 down, to beat the Clippers in OT. Tone, who had the more impressive performance, Embiid or Jokic?
Yeah, this can't actually be a serious question. I mean, Embiid got his 50 against a team that's DFL in the NBA. 8-38. They stink. He should have had 50 in 20 minutes and not 27 minutes. The answer is Jokic. Jokic went out there and won a game against a team that may not be as good as they were last year, the Clippers. They're 22-24 right now. That's better than 8-38. And 22-24 is what we like to call Lakerland. This was his third straight triple-double, 49 being one off 50. And it comes after Markieff Morris had called him. And let me be accurate in this. A 300-pound sloppy fat boy. All right, I'd like to see Markieff Morris put up these numbers, or his brother, or them together. The answer is Jokic.
The answer is Embiid. He did it in 27 minutes. Come on, I don't care. In an empty gym. Come on now. That's wilt-like. 50 in 27 minutes. Suppose he plays the whole game. Could he get 100 or near it? No. But, Tony, come on.
Nobody was guarding him. There's nobody on Orlando.
No, listen. Jokic was great, by the way. The pass, the 10th assist, is a pass over a seven-footer into the corner, right in the shooting pocket of Aaron Gordon, who hits the three. They're both great. And by the way, we both love Steph Curry. But as he has just sort of had a little slump struggle, and both these guys, either or both could have a slump too, I think they're 1 and 2 now on the MVP power rating list, Tone. I do. I think it's either Embiid or Jokic.
That's interesting because Jokic's coach, Michael Malone, said the other day that he is, you know, nobody's paying any attention to him. And as Mrs. Willie Loman said, attention must be paid. Guy's a great player. Great player.
Give some credit to Embiid. Before you die, will you give Embiid a nod?
Stop with Embiid. No, stop. 8:38, get out. I want to make sure of the time. Dallas's coach as of 5:30, Mike McCarthy, held a press conference yesterday in which he said his team was nervous before their game against the 49ers last Sunday, and they played that way early in the game. When asked about his choice of words, McCarthy backed off nervous and inserted the word angst instead. This has created a firestorm of criticism of McCarthy, especially on this network, where it seems that every ex-player turned talking head wants McCarthy fired. Wilbon, do you?
I fit half that description, talking head but not ex-player. I'm sorry, on your podcast at what seems like 5 o'clock in the morning on Mondays, I woke up and I told you this guy reminds me of Fred Flintstone. Would you hire or retain Fred Flintstone? Either one, unless it's to eat a Brontosaurus burger? No, you wouldn't. So what are you talking about? This is not new that he should be fired. He should be fired. And so, yes, I agree with them. And it's not that I have to agree with them. I think most of us can agree. You look at him, you say, I know you got a Super Bowl ring to your credit. You know, maybe you can go forth and do whatever you want, say whatever you want, be on TV yourself and be a talking head. But you got to go.
So I watched him. I watched McCarthy defend his ability as a coach and say he can win in the league and say he can win a Super Bowl because he has won a Super Bowl. And I thought, how far do you have to go back in Dallas to win a Super Bowl? You got to go back to Jimmy Johnson and you got to go back to Barry Switzer. Or you can go back 15 years to Bill Parcells who won it somewhere else. But people after Parcells, other than McCarthy, have not won it. Yet to me, Mike, he does look a little bit lost in Dallas. And people in Dallas are praising Dan Quinn, and I think Dan Quinn epically blew a Super Bowl just a few years ago when he was with Atlanta. Should he be fired? I don't know, but Jason Garrett got fired, and Jason Garrett's last 2 years in Dallas, he was 18-14 and 1-1 in the playoffs. And McCarthy's 2 years, he's 18-15 and 0-1 in the playoffs. I remember a long time ago, Mike, McCarthy told me that as a young man, he had a job as a toll collector on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. I've always remembered that. So I know there's employment down the road if he needs it. I think he's better than you think he is. But it's not, you know why it doesn't work there, Mike? Because you work for Jerry Jones. And it's like being on Succession and working for your father. It's impossible. It's impossible. Let's take a break. Coming up, we will ask Booger McFarland how to deal with Derrick Henry.
We'll also ask him whether Aaron Rodgers has something to prove in these playoffs, right now, this weekend.
Here are two places you can't work as a coach and be successful anymore. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Dallas Cowboys. Ooh. And we talk about them too much. Both
T.
of
Lou
them.
T. Lou won.
Too much.
Didn't he? Didn't T. Lou win? Huh?
Where's he now?
He won in Cleveland. He's working in L.A. now.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are less than 47 hours away from kickoff of the divisional playoff round. Let us bring in our great friend from Monday Night Countdown, ESPN football analyst Booger McFarland, wearing another fancy golf club shirt that he
very nice
wears for us whenever we have him on. Makes us very happy. Let's start with this. Derrick Henry practiced in pads yesterday. He appears, Booger, to be ready to play against the Bengals. I'm going to draw on your experience. You played defensive line. How do you stop someone like Derrick Henry?
Well, you can't let him get started. You know, Derrick Henry reminds me of a guy I used to play against called Eddie George. And Eddie was a big back. And if you let him get going coming downhill, man, he was a load to stop. When we were in Tampa, we had the most success against Eddie George. You had to make him chop his feet in the backfield. Make him make that cut behind the line of scrimmage as deep as you can, because if you do that, now you can run up and game tackle. Because if he makes that cut, once he gets past the line of scrimmage, he is tough to stop. Either way, Tony, the little guys on the back end, those corners and safeties, they got to have a little He-Man inside of them. They can't be afraid to tackle, because at some point, those little 185-pound dudes, they're going to have to tackle the 240-pound running back. And they better be doing some extra shrugs in the weight room this week, because they're going to need all the in their pocket they can get.
Well, they might have to tackle in the other AFC game a quarterback who's about that size as well. The Bills beat the Chiefs handily earlier in the season, as you know, Booger, and just rolled over the Patriots. So what would you... As a defender of renown in your time, what would you tell KC's defense about slowing down Josh Allen and the Bills' offense?
Well, first of all, Mike, they better pray, because Josh Allen right now is hot as fish grease. Like, he is smoking hot right now. Second thing that they should do is keep him in the pocket. And I know that sounds counterintuitive to how you stop a quarterback as far as somebody with MVP-like skills as Josh Allen. But what you don't want to do is give him the best of both worlds. We know that he can run the football. They're going to have some design quarterback runs, him coming downhill, him using that 6'5", 240-pound frame. But I want to take the running game away. Keep him in the pocket. Make him a drop-back passer. Not saying that he can't do that, because he is phenomenal. But I'm going to take away the lesser of two evils, I think. And I'm going to take away the running game. Make him stand back there and throw the football. And maybe, just maybe, you might have a little bit of success stopping him. But right now, he's the hottest quarterback going. And their offense is so quarterback-centric that even if you take the running game away from his legs, he can still beat you with the pass. Like, he is playing phenomenal football, and I can't wait to watch that game right now, because it's going to be what I think are two of the top five young quarterbacks in football for the next decade. You throw in Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and some other guys. It's going to be phenomenal to watch.
I'm going to ask you now about a slightly older guy. Not old yet, but certainly veteran, Matthew Stafford. He's pretty darn good against blitzes. And the Buccaneers, as you know, blitz all the time. So do you see any way that the Bucs and their blitz-crazed defense sort of dials it back and does something different, throw a wrinkle in? Or do you just see the Bucs playing to their strength and doing what they do?
I think the Bucs are going to do what they do. Like, if you look at that coaching staff, it's a veteran staff with Ty Bowles and Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians. The key to it, though, Mike, is really simple. You can't let him know it's coming. See, every team blitzes, but it's the element of surprise that you have on a quarterback. If he knows it's coming, most quarterbacks will dice it up. But if I don't know it's coming, or if I don't know what side it's coming from, now I can have some success. Listen, I understand Matthew Stafford played well Monday night against the Cardinals, and, you know, someone needs to ask the Cardinals, did they remember what day the game was? Because that team that showed up Monday really wasn't a good team. But I'm not going to digress on that. You have to make sure that you make Matthew Stafford uncomfortable. He proved a lot of naysayers wrong Monday night by making some good throws, making some good plays in a huge game. Did he absolve all the demons of not being able to show up in a big game? I don't think so. And I'm going to make him prove to me again he can get it done. So that defense is going to have to figure out a way to make Matthew Stafford turn the football over. And something tells me he just might throw him a couple picks.
We'll get you out of here on this, Booger. We'll get to the last game. The Packers edged the 49ers earlier this season. Aaron Rodgers, obviously one of the all-time great quarterbacks, but his playoff record is 11-9, which is not on the level of what he does in regular seasons. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers has anything to prove in this postseason?
Not at all. If I were to sit here and say that Aaron Rodgers has something to prove, then I need to get on this show and say, hey, you and Wilbon got something to prove. The last 25 years didn't mean anything. Right now, you got to show up, and you got to win 24 to 46. That demo, you got to win that this week, or it doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great. Now, here's what I will say, is that when you're that much of an all-time great, and you're regarded as maybe the most talented player ever to play the position, you should have more than one Super Bowl ring. So does he have anything to prove? No. But I think in the back of his mind, he knows his talent warrants him having more hardware. I got two rings. I got one in Tampa and one in Indianapolis, and I'm nowhere near as talented as Aaron Rodgers. So someone of his stature should have played in more Super Bowls and should have more. But I think the pressure on him is not necessarily to prove anything. The pressure on him is everything that he's been through this season. Now you get an opportunity. The number one seed, everybody's coming to Lambeau again. It's going to be 22 degrees or whatever it's going to be in your house. Everything is stacked in your favor. Can you get it done? And I think that's what America wants to see after the debacle with the vaccine, after the offseason, whether or not you're going to come back. Like all these things that he kind of created, now everything's in your favor, Aaron Rodgers. What are you going to do now? I think that's what he has to show.
Thanks so much, Boog. As always, thank you for being with us.
Awesome.
Anytime, man. Glad to be on with you guys. Hey, anytime you guys get ready to play, let me know. I have a golf shirt for you too.
Soon. Let's take one last break. Still to come.
Weather soon.
Did the Wizards get hosed when a Nets assistant coach reached into the court of play last night and hit the ball?
Tony, do we have any shot with the 18 to 46 group in that demo that Booger mentioned? We have no shot with them, do we? We could just mail
our demo is 65 to dead, baby. That's our demo.
My Bulls beat the Cavs, broke that four-game losing streak, but also get some bad news about the point guard.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 58th birthday, Ron Harper. How many rings is a lot? Three, like Bird? Four, like LeBron? Ron Harper has five. He was on the Bulls with Jordan and Pippen for their numbers 4, 5, and 6. Harper was one of the Dobermans, a group of Bulls so named for their defensive prowess. Harper was on the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe for 2 of their three-peat. His son, Ron Harper Jr., is a senior at Rutgers and the team's leading scorer at 17 points a game. Last year, Harper helped Rutgers to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 30 years. And last month, he had a half-court buzzer beater to beat then number one Purdue.
Tony, you know I love Ron Harper, a terrific player, one of the most engaging people in the NBA in the last 30 years at least. And Tony, the issue of stuttering, and I'm going to mention this, it kept big audiences perhaps from hearing Ron Harper, which he has met, as far as I'm concerned, conquered. And it's too bad, because people need to hear Ron Harper. It's just great listening to him. I've done that for what seems like dozens, if not hundreds of hours, and salute to Ron Harper, who will get in your pocket and beat you now on the golf course.
Happy anniversary, Joe Montana. On this day 37 years ago, Montana passed for 331 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks, his typical Super Bowl line, as the 49ers beat Miami 38-16 in Super Bowl 19. That was Montana's second of 4 Super Bowl championships. On the other side was 23-year-old Dan Marino, who had just set the NFL record with 48 touchdown passes. Everyone assumed Marino's abilities would get him back to the Super Bowl numerous times, but this was his only one. Wilbon, you're always ripping today's NFL coaches. The coaches in this game were Bill Walsh and Don Shula. Were they any good?
I don't know. I'll let you answer it. You want to trade anybody coaching today other than Belichick for Walsh or Shula? Anybody. You got the field.
No.
Tell me who you want to.
Okay, no, no,
I
no,
thought
no.
So.
No, 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 no.
I didn't
no,
think.
No. No, of course not. No, other than Belichick.
So I look
of
pretty
not.
Good.
No.
Then.
Happy trails, if we can get the prompter. Happy trails to the Wizards. The Wizards lost last night at home to the Nets by 1 point. There are a lot of possessions that can change a one-point game. How about this one? With 5:45 to go, Spencer Dinwiddie threw a pass down the sideline to Kyle Kuzma that Nets assistant coach David Vanterpool deliberately deflected. Kessler Edwards of the Nets got his hands on the ball, a live ball turnover, and dribbled up the court. The refs did not see what Vanterpool did. Kuzma did and started gesticulating wildly about it to no avail. After the game, crew chief Ben Taylor said there was no mechanism to review that play. Wilbon, you're always screaming that the NFL needs a sky judge. How can the NBA let this stand?
I don't think it can, but Tony, let me get back to the subject of David Vanterpool. Who is, as we used to say more often on this show, my boy? Been friends with David Vanterpool for a while. Terrific assistant, should have been a head coach before now. And he's from D.C. I mean, he went to Blair High School in Silver Spring, Maryland, said, oh, I don't want to hear any conspiracy theories on David Vanterpool. He stuck his hand out. I mean, he's not the kind of guy who would do this intentionally or with evil. I haven't talked to him yet, but it looks to me like he stuck his hand out because the ball was near him. I'm not going to make this a federal case. The league has to do something, but let's not go crazy on my man, David Vanterpool.
Well, he did it deliberately, and he should be fined, and something should happen to him.
How do you know he did it deliberately? How do you know that?
That's not the point. The point is, how do I know that? You white stuck his hand out. You can't do that. That's rule number one. What should the league do? What should the league do?
I'd go back to that point and make him replay. I didn't say this should go unaddressed. I just said he didn't. I don't believe he did it with intent.
Fine. Let's go to the big finish. Your Bulls beat the Cavs. Lonzo Ball will be out 6 to 8 weeks after he had a procedure on his knee. How big a loss is that?
It's huge. He's a big part of their turnaround, Tony. I mean, it's a big loss. He's played terrific this season with the Bulls. Emma Raducanu, Andy Murray, Garbin Muguruza, and Nick Kyrgios all lost at the Aussie Open. What's the most significant departure?
Well, it's easy to say Raducanu, but the most significant departure is Novak Djokovic, because he's out of the country, not in it. Tampa Bay Rays proposed plan to split the season between Florida and Montreal has been rejected by Major League Baseball. Are you disappointed?
Yeah, I'm disappointed. All the games aren't in Montreal. That's my big disappointment. Georgia quarterback JT Daniels entering the transfer portal. Is it because he's third or fourth school? Does this make sense?
Yeah. Because Stenson Bennett IV is coming back for his 6-year of eligibility, and he's got a ring. Yeah, makes sense. Last one, Suns and Mavs both go for their 5th win in a row when they meet tonight. Who gets it?
That's a good game to watch tonight, Tony. I know the game's in Dallas, but I'm taking, of course, the Suns, the best team in the NBA right now.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
You can't stick your hand out and hit the ball, Mike.
He shouldn't have done
it.
But no federal case.
PTI.